Geez, I did. You know what? Here I am talking to everybody, and I can't figure out why the cue music isn't going down, because it normally diminishes once I start talking. And now I realize it was because when we went to break, I started to cough and I was choking, and so I cut off my microphone, and that's why no one could hear me. Anyway, listen, I'm talking with Ronald McDonald this morning, and you were just starting to make a point when we went to break quickly, Ron. So please go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. In the state of California, they created the codes on a certain day. However, what they did is in the statute itself to create the codes, they said this shall be as though it were created on such and such a date previously to their creating the code. That violates.
Isn't that like ex post facto or something?
Boy, you know your Constitution, Maggie. You're absolutely right. So what they did was violate a fundamental principle to make the code retroactive, and they can't do that. The other thing they did with the codes in the state of California, they created them in name only. And when you create a law, you must have the title with one subject in it, and then you must have the substance of the law with one object in it. Well, they failed to put the substance in the law. So they created names only, which violated another fundamental principle. So I've won a case on that. I mean, the fraud goes, it's just tremendous, the fraud in the United States. On how.
So this, I'm guessing, Ron, this similar behaviors or actions or things that were done erroneously, same thing probably has been going on all around the country. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's in every state. In every state.
Interesting.
It's, for example, I won a case on a gentleman that was the mayor of a very renowned city in Northern California. He was also a contractor, a plastering contractor, and he had refused to take out state taxes of his employees. He had something like 12 employees. Well, they caught him and they revoked his license. And this was after he was married, you know. Then he was caught again, and now they were coming against him because he was contracting without a license. Well, I wrote an 18-page brief that went to the Attorney General, Bill Lockyer, of the state of California. And in that brief, it showed that all the laws that they are alleged this individual was subject to were copyrighted, and they had no right to move against them. They were special laws and not general laws, and the only laws this man could be subject to were general laws. And in fact, I brought forward a case where three individuals, and one was a corporation, were fighting for the ownership of the fire codes across the country, owning the fire codes. Well, this supported my position in this, and of course the Attorney General dismissed the case in its entirety. He wanted no record of it.
You don't want the truth to get out there on the books. Ron, why would a law be copyrighted?
Because
what does that mean?
Copyrighted means, and here's how it is.
I know what copyrighted means, you know, for a book or something, but
right.
I don't know what it means for the law.
Well, for the law, it means that an individual or group of individuals own those laws outright. They can amend them. They can repeal them. They can do whatever they want. It's the same as a book. They have total ownership of them. They can turn around and sell them to Japan or to China, and then they own the laws that you're using over here. You see the importance of that?
What's the purpose of that?
The purpose of owning it? It's commercial. Everything that you're in today is commercial. This is the basis of the book that I wrote, They Own It All, Including You, is that we fail to realize we're no longer in a jurisdiction that supports land. We're in out at the sea. We're in the representative reality. And that, what I mean by that, when you're, and I think I said it the last time, is when you go into court and you have an attorney representing you, that's commerce. Anything that represents something is commerce, and the laws are copyrighted, and they represent what the real law is. They're not themselves the real law. They merely represent what may be the real law. This is the whole, this is the fallacy we live in today. And for this one principle of the laws being copyrighted, I won the case. And not only did I win the case, as I said, the Attorney General of the State of California, Bill Lockyer, dismissed the case in its entirety. He wanted no record of this. Why?
Well, because you'd set a precedent, wouldn't you?
Yes. Because none of the laws would be effective against the people of the state of California. So this is the dilemma we find ourselves in. We're living an illusion every day. We're living within the illusion. It is actual fact. I can't say we're not dealing with facts. But we're living in the make-believe world. We're in the imaginary world, and everything does affect us in the imaginary world.
Okay. So now someone gets a citation, their grass is, I don't know, they don't like the color of their paint on their house. And they don't live in, well, I don't know, I'm sure it matters if you're in one of these, what the hell am I trying to say? What do they call it?
Associations.
Yeah, exactly. What do people do?
Well, it depends, it depends on what area. I know what to do in California, and it's probably the same in every state. First of all, I would check to see who created that office, the code enforcement office. And I guarantee you, if you do a study of what an office is about, go to your law library and ask the law librarian to help you research the creation of an office. Get that. Study it and see where it leads you. And you'll see what the defining of an officer is. And you'll see that an officer is defined by one who holds a portion of the sovereignty of the people of the state, no matter what state it is. Then you see what an employee is. And it'll say the employee cannot affect the public at large, that sort of thing. And then connect it to your code enforcement officer. And again, the most valuable tool you can have before all this happens, or after it happens, I should say, is to do your Public Records Act. Ask for the oath of office, and you're going to find out that most people don't even take those oaths. And when they don't, guess what? Every act that they committed is a violation of law, isn't it?
Well, yeah, if they're supposed to be taking an oath.
Yeah, and I've had that, Jesus, from the Franchise Tax Board to the Medical Board to Building Department. When the Building Department came against me, I told you, I did an issue on the Oath of Office, and that was for building in the setbacks. I built two large structures, and I pulled all their oaths. I went to the county clerk, Eve Lewis of Sonoma County, and I requested all their oaths. Well, many of them didn't even take it. Some took it and dated it after my request. Well, in accordance with law, before one enters the duties of their office, they must take the prescribed oath of office in the Constitution of the State of California.
So now let me ask you a question, because typically I've always thought, and of course, obviously, this probably is not correct. I always thought the people who took oaths were, not just elected people, but police officers took oaths to support and defend the Constitution, our politicians, that kind of thing. And in essence, should everyone be taking an oath that works for?
Yeah, everyone who can affect the public.
Everyone who can affect the public. So this coded Nazi, code Nazi knocking at your door, they should be taking an oath because they're affecting you.
That's correct. If they come from a legitimate created office with constitutional powers within it. And that's it. I'm going to read something so you understand the administrative process. And it's just, it's out of administrative law, out of AMJUR, American Jurisprudence. And it says, generally speaking, administrative law deals with officers and agencies exercising delegated powers and not with the exercise of constitutional powers of the executive. Well, that's what's happened here. You have a power that's not constitutional power. Well, when did the people within their states ever create offices without constitutional powers attached. So who are these agencies who are running around with powers that are not constitutional powers? And what is that power? See, that's the Nazi that you're talking about. It's power that does not jive with the fundamental principles upon which the people delegated power to the offices. I don't know if I'm being clear on that. Is that the power created in offices is very limited. We did that so we do not have, first of all, we did that so we can isolate what power was given by us to our agents. And then when they brought forward this administrative, whatever you want to call it, process, they created a new power, but that power did not derive from the people themselves. So whose power is that? The clue is search your money. And when you find out who owns the money or the currency, you'll know what power is being used in those agencies.
All right. So
am I spinning you around? Or
no, I'm just trying to make it clear because these are concepts that kind of go against what people had assumed, okay? And, of course, I remember Mad Dog Morrison, my nursing instructor from when I went to LPN school, who said, don't ever assume anything because it makes an ass of you and me. And she's very right. But, you know, we've all just assumed things, being none the wiser or have never taken the time to research because, you know, why bother? You got better things to do. So these are a lot of these ideas are you know, brand new and not brand new, but brand new to people we have not heard them before. So right. as basic as we could be is the best possible thing.
Right.
And that's a pretty obtuse way of getting to that point, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, in the United States, in order to understand what's really happening, one must understand what we're using for currency, the life force of this entire system. And I'm going to, if I can get to it, I'm going to just raise my notes here for the state of California, but it's similar in every other state. And it's the currency that is dictating what laws we are under right now. And I'm going to describe the government codes of the state of California as it comes to the money system. Now, I don't know if you're familiar, but the lawful money of accounts of the United States falls under that Mint Act. That Mint Act of 1792 has never been repealed. But in the state of California, we have two government codes. One specifically deals with that lawful money, and the other one deals with the currency. And it's government code 6850, and this is what it quotes. It says, the money of accounts of this state is the dollar, the cent, and the mill. Well, that's a measure of weight, isn't it? The mill. And this is as old as the political code because this is where it came from the 1850s. And it says, public accounts and all proceedings in court shall be kept and had in conformity with this section. So it says, all courts must use the dollar, the cent, and the mill, a weight of measure of precious metal, usually silver. Now, what it also says in government code 6852, what type of notes it will accept into the state of California. And this is what it says. All legal tender notes issued by the United States shall be received at par or at face value in payment for all taxes. So it's telling that the only notes that the state of California may accept are those notes issued by the United States. Are Federal Reserve notes issued by the United States?
No, they aren't, but I can tell you right now, Ron, when you go into liens and all this stuff, and I understand because I read the book that you had sent me that you had written, that's not going to clear up questions people have who are being confronted by thousands of dollars or worth of fines they're receiving from the code Nazis.
The point that I'm getting at, Maggie, is I'm trying to show you what the law is based on. The law is based on, the regulatory law is based on this money system, and that's what we're seeing right now in that code enforcement officer and every agency through the state, from the governor all the way down. It's all based in Federal Reserve notes. And understanding that principle, you will see why we never touch law anymore in this country. Because this country is not regulated by the United States itself. It's regulated by the currency that controls the United States itself, and that's all mercantile currency. Federal Reserve notes are merchant receipts. That's all they are, merchant receipts. They're foreign to this country. Therefore, the laws that they produce are foreign to this country. This is why when you go into a court after 1933, you don't understand the language in the court. You don't understand the new rules of the court. You don't understand the penal codes, the evidence codes. You understand nothing because all these laws are not written for people. They're written for commerce. It's all changed, and this is what you're up against. But again, if you want to defeat the code enforcement officer, you have to do your homework. You have to research how an office is created, how the people create that office, how they enumerate it with powers, and where in the heck did this code enforcement office come from? Because it wasn't created by the people of your county.
So, in essence, all code enforcement offices then are, illegal, unconstitutional, should be abolished because they have no right to exist.
You're absolutely on point. Absolutely on point. I threw that code enforcement officer off my property. And I hit the Achilles heel with it. So that's the point, is understanding, you know, we are the lawmakers. And in California, we have Government Code 100. It says all sovereignty is in the name of the people. It says, it also says in our Constitution that all political power is inherent in the people. So we are the lawmakers. We have the sovereignty. So who created code enforcement officer? Not the people. And you see, if you just follow it, you'll see how these offices are created without using the fundamental principles upon which we adopted to form our governance. And that's okay. The Achilles heel.
Okay. We've got a couple callers. Ron, let's go to Don in South Florida. Don, go ahead. You're on with us.
I'm Aggie and Mr. McDonald. I'm enjoying the show. Good work, everybody. Charles Weissman has a little thing called Authority of Law, which talks about this. He does a real good job as well. I haven't read your book yet, but he basically says that these are basically just hearings where they try to extort money out of people using administrative law. The problem is people walk in there, and when you sign up at the front desk and then you enter a plea, you basically silently have accepted the jurisdiction of that court, and instead what you ought to do ostensibly is make a special appearance and object to the jurisdiction of the court that they don't have jurisdiction over you in the first place. And what I actually called about was the public records request. Just an interesting little story is that what I found out is that the lead attorney for my city has taken an oath, but even if somebody has taken an oath, you've got to look at it real closely because I haven't looked at his real close yet, but the order that the judge gave me in my Massey hearing was not notarized properly. So I think a lot of times, once again, it's all about appearances, and the court looks like it's a constitutional court, but it's not. The orders look like they're proper, but they're not even notarized properly. And I think we might even find that a lot of these oaths are not even notarized properly as well. And another interesting story, and then I'll
Don. Yeah, hold on, because we got to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, everybody. Ronald McDonald is my guest. Jim in South Carolina, I'll grab you as well when we come back. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the total transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural ColonFlow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. ColonFlow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Hey, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodd, and we're talking this morning with Ronald McDonald, author of the book entitled They Own It All, Including You, by way of Toxic Money, which you can purchase off of RBN. So go ahead and do that, I suggest you do. He sent me the book, and it is very illuminating. Don, go ahead, finish making your point, if you would, please.
Sure. What I wanted to say was that the public records request, I haven't run into the problem where in the middle of a big fracas they wouldn't answer them or supply any records. What I've run into occasionally is where they say that, you know, we won't answer questions, we only supply documents. What they do sometimes is quote some ridiculous cases that are absolutely off point. I guess the only way we're going to combat is the use of affidavits, and if they don't answer them, then an affidavit that they don't answer is taken as truth, right? Anyway, the final story I wanted to let you know was that the assistant attorney that attacked me in my code enforcement Massey hearing, it appears that she never took the oath, and one day I was sitting in the city hall, and she went out to lunch, and then I called the number for her office, and I asked the secretary I wanted to see my file. And actually, at the time, I meant my code enforcement file, but what they brought down was the legal file, and it was through that legal file that I found out that she had called the clerk of the courts and had my appeal, to put it nicely, shit-canned.
You can't swear. No, Don, you can't swear on air, okay?
All right, so the appeal was basically deleted from the computer records, and then they went after me again. So just an interesting little tactic that people might try is, hey, just sit there in the city hall, and wait for your attorney that attacked you to go out to lunch, and then call her secretary, and you may end up with the legal file, and you can make copies from it.
All
okay,
right.
I'll get off.
Well, that's a tactic. Thanks for calling, Don. I appreciate it. Ron, do you have any comments? Otherwise, I'm going to grab another caller here.
No, I like his line of thinking, though. He's right on track.
Yeah, you got to outsmart him. All right, let's go to Jim in South Carolina, if we could, please.
Peggy, good talking to you. And Ron again.
Hi.
Ron, I'm going to back up a few minutes into your previous, before your previous break. You said that copywritten law was not enforceable. Well, in that case, the whole UCC code is not enforceable because that's copywritten by the American BAR Association.
Every code in the United States and every state is copyrighted. You're right on point, Jim.
So none of that applies to anybody, really.
But again, you have to defend. It's not a, you can't just allege, you have to defend. I defended in the state of California because I was able to bring forward an active case on the fire codes. And the fire codes are adopted through every county of every state of the United States. And that proved that they were copyrighted and privately owned. And that's a violation under the fundamental principle that all laws shall be general. And the people shall be subject to the general laws and not specific laws, or special laws, I should say.
Well, I just opened up a whole new horizon for me. Thank you, Ron.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for calling, Jim. So, all the codes are copyrighted throughout the country?
Yes, they are. Is that insane or what?
Yeah, that's a mind blower.
Yeah, well, this is the jurisdiction we're in. It's all in this jurisdiction in commerce. There has to be a profit on every aspect. This is why in the medical field, if you have a remedy that cannot be patented, the FDA will not approve it because it's free. They just will not approve it. You can't. It has to make money. The bottom line of this jurisdiction is money, profit, greed. That's the whole bottom line of it. Even to the laws that we fall under, these special laws, all profit-oriented. It reminds me of the movie Pinocchio, and this is how I see it. Is that in this society, we get to use credit and we can buy almost anything, but the end result is that we become slaves to our credit. And in Pinocchio, if you remember, he's brought into this candy shop place, you know, where he can eat all sorts of candies that he wants. Every dream that he ever had was in that little candy store. And then he falls asleep, and the next thing you know, he's growing a tail and donkey ears. He becomes a slave, doesn't he?
Yep.
This is the same thing in this society, is we're caught into this illusion of commerce, which is credit and debit. That's all it is credit and debit. There's no real substance there. And then as soon as we get inundated in it, we become a slave to it.
So what do we do?
Well, I recommend that you go back into your own states. Don't worry about your neighbor states or anything else, and start taking control of your personal states. I'm doing it in the state of California under the California Constitutional Lobbyist. And we're starting the initiative process to reestablish real law in this state. And, for example, the first one we're putting out there is that no bill shall be passed by the state of California that's longer than 10 pages, written at a higher level than ninth grade grammar, and have but one subject in its title and one object in its substance.
Oh, that's a good idea. Hang on, Ron. We got to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Ronald McDonald, they own it all, including you. Buy his book off RBN. We'll be back in 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit freetoprosper.com right now.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life.
Hi, my name is Don Wiskin, and I am always telling people that Extendivite can extend your life. Well, remember Russ and how his future was uncertain after his heart attack? We can now go to 1 year on Extendivite for Russ, and this is what he is saying now.
My name is Russ, and I want to update you on how Extendivite has been working for me. It has been 1 year now, and my doctor is amazed. He has never seen anyone get better after the heart attack I had. He could find nothing wrong with me and has reduced my medications. I feel like I have a new lease on life and would recommend Extendivite to everyone.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodden. 800-313-9443 is the number to call if you have a question for my guest, Ronald McDonald, author of the book entitled They Own It All, Including You, which you can purchase right off of RBN. So I suggest you go to republicbroadcasting.org, buy his book. So you are attacking this through a constitutional lobby and initiative process out in California. Is that the... what you suggest other people do in their states as well, same kind of tactics, Ron? Yeah,
we're actually setting up a template so others can do it across the country. It's, you know, the power, and again, I already mentioned that in our Constitution, and you'll find this in every Constitution across the land, is that the political power is inherent in the people. That means we are the ones that make the law. They do not allow the initiative process, but the way the constitutions are written, that would be a violation of fundamental principle. I think Texas is one of them, and a simple writ of mandamus into the courtroom, compelling them to allow the people to create their own laws because the power is in the people, and they don't have the state has no right to deprive the people of their inherent power, would be the right tactic in those states. But when you see how we can start refacing and renovating our state to remove certain laws that are improper and go against the fundamental principle would be a very simple task. I don't think there'll be any citizen out there that wouldn't want to see their bills that are being passed through the House a lot simpler and clarified as far as being able to be readable and being able to decide whether you want that law in or not want that law in. Right now, they pass laws that have more than one object in the substance of the law. I mean, they hide them. And it's as simple as we could start changing our states through the power of the people versus letting the legislatures take control.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me, Ron. because all these bills, they've got all these different attachments on all these bills you hear about, which is totally 180 from what you think the bill is supposed to be about. They've got all this other crap in there, and it's all a manipulative thing.
Yeah, and I've read the Supreme Court cases on the petition for grievance. The petition for grievance is the initiative process. If you don't like the laws the way they are, then change them. That's what it's about. A document to your congressman or to your state legislature will do no good. But an initiative will change the face of the laws. They will repeal laws that are bad laws, and they'll start bringing power back to the people. That's how I see it.
Well, we need something here, Ron, because things are a big mess all over.
Yeah, well, you're being very polite.
I am, because you're not allowed to swear on air.
I know.
So I have to think of, you know, other terms to use to describe the problem, Ron.
I know.
Anyway, listen, I know that you last time you were on with me, you touched on your book and what it's about. But let's go. You talked about everything is because of these Federal Reserve notes, which are essentially merchant receipts. If you can talk about what you mean by they own it all, including you, if you could. We've got some time left in the show. So.
The simple fact, and I described last time the nature of money, and I gave an example of the lawful coin, whether it's silver coin or a gold coin, that is lawful. And lawful, what I mean by that, it's coined through an act of Congress. And the act of Congress that coins it is the Mint Act of 1792. So the coin itself carries with it an artificial intrinsic value, and that's called law. So it's recognized, and the law cannot be repealed on that coin. Once it's in law, it is there. So, but with the nature of money, it has an infinite number of qualities, especially on the gold coin. It has, when you acquire it, you have absolute rights to it, absolute title of it, and absolute interest in it. So when you purchase anything with that coin, that those intrinsic qualities, including the artificial one called law, travels into the very thing you purchase, whether it's a car or a house or whatever. So when you purchase something with that gold coin, you get absolute title, absolute rights, absolute interest under the law. You get that, and you acquire that structure or that car or whatever. So that's your real law right there. But with the Federal Reserve note, it's different. It's an illegal note. It's not lawful. Legal means it's in form only. It's representative. It's in commerce. It's, again, it's that attorney who represents you. He's not you. And when you appear for yourself, you're in appearance. You're not you. You're appearing as though you're you. I mean, it's a deceptive practice. Commerce is the illusion of things that don't exist as though they do exist. And that's probably the best way to describe it. So when you're dealing with that Federal Reserve note, it also is by an act or a fiat act of the President of the United States. And when you use that, you're using form only. There's no substance backing that fiat money up. You don't get absolute rights, absolute titles, or absolute interests. So when you purchase something with that Federal Reserve note, nothing transfers over of absolute ownership. And in fact, because it's an obligation of the United States, and I brought the case forward last time as far as the 3,000 plus in currency and a 1960 Ford station wagon, is that the intrinsic qualities that travel across by operation of law are liens. So when you use that Federal Reserve note, a lien travels across onto the very thing you purchased. You don't own it because you never owned the note in the first place. And so when you acquire that thing, you have purchase power, but you have nothing else with it. This is why when your car is on the highway and you're stopped by an officer, they can impound it because you never owned it in the first place. However, prior to 1933, because you had absolute title, rights, and interest, they would have to take you to court to prove they owned it. They couldn't just take your car off the highway or off the roadway. So So this is the nature, what I call the nature of the beast. Now, everything in society, from you're paying the doctor for the birth of your child to whatever, has the lien traveling on to everything. So the forehead of your child has a lien on it because you used Fed Reserve notes to have that child delivered. The car, your possessions, your personal property, your real property, everything has these liens on it. That's operation of law. This is your merchant jurisdiction. This is the law merchant's law. This is as old as Babylon, and this is where we are today. We own nothing, not including ourselves, not our shirts, not our anything else. And the whole principle is set right in the very currency we use. If we use lawful money, you would own your house, you would own your personal property, you would own your real property. Your house would be your castle, and no one could bust down that door except through due process. Today, they can just break right through your door. And today, you don't even have to have a warrant in certain states. So we've shifted everything about only because we've taken the law of the land and displaced it with the law of the sea. It is now all contract law under mercantile negotiable instruments. Did I lose you?
No, I'm listening, but it seems rather, I don't know the perfect word. For example, if they go to RBN and buy your book, do they own your book?
No, they don't.
Okay, but they have possession of your book.
If they buy it with a silver coin, they would own it, but again, they would have to defend it. See, most...
But if they had you gave me your book. I have possession of your book.
That's all you have. That's all you have right now is possession of it.
That's all I need, isn't it?
That's all you need, but they could take it from you. One of the fundamental principles in this country was the right to acquire property.
Okay.
And you'll find that even in your state constitution, that your right to acquire property is a basic necessity. Otherwise, where do you go to survive? How do you sustain your life? How do you grow your food or what have you? How do you shelter yourself and your family? Where do you raise yourself and your family? This was a fundamental principle. Well, now they've taken that right away. You don't no longer have the right to own property. Why aren't the people up in arms against their states? How could their states ever allow this to happen? No one's taking anyone to task on this. Your state didn't have to participate in this Federal Reserve note scheme. You know, the Federal Reserve note is as foreign as Japanese yen is to this country. The Federal Reserve note is a foreign product. Because it has federal on the note itself, because it appears to be United States, doesn't mean it is United States. And again, Title 12, Section 411 says that these are obligations of the United States issued by the Federal Reserve. Well, what if it was a foreign? What if it was Germany issuing these notes? Would the people then wake up that it's foreign? And why are your states accepting these when clearly in California says the only thing that we can accept are U.S. Treasury notes, not Federal Reserve notes? Why is every treasury throughout the United States filled with Federal Reserve notes or credits based in? Converted to Federal Reserve notes. When have the people had enough? Why aren't they waking up to the one mere simple fact that these are foreign currency? You don't own them. If you leave the country with $10,000 or more, you have to declare them. If you leave the country with $10,000 of lawful money, you don't have to declare it. You can leave with $1 million of gold coin, lawful coin, or silver coin and not have to declare it. But however, leave with a Federal Reserve note, you have to declare because you don't own it.
You know what, Ron, I've got a couple more questions, but we've got a couple callers, so let's grab them. David in New Mexico, go ahead quickly, please. David? All right, let's move on. Rodney in Illinois?
I'm here.
Hi.
Do you hear me?
Who? Yes, who am I talking to? Is this David or Rodney?
Rodney?
Okay. Go ahead, Rodney.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
I have your book. I've had it for over a year. This is my question and comment. In the early 90s, you know, I was an average guy in American looking for answers, and I was, you know, attending seminars, reading books, et cetera, et cetera. Came across some paperwork, and one of which was a four-page document entitled Denial of Voluntary Use of Federal Reserve Notes. I signed it, made it, personalized it, notarized it, and filed it in the courthouse. Now, that's worthless. I understand that. You know, I've been around it long enough to know that, you know, a lot of this stuff is absolutely useless. But here's the question. When does the court or administration or an agency ever say, aha, I've got you because you used a Federal Reserve note. Therefore, we own you, we own your property, et cetera. When do they ever go beyond mere presumption, which I think is what is at work here, and actually lay their card on the table that says, okay, this is why we own you, this is why you are under our jurisdiction, because you're using an international commodity.
Yeah, they won't do that. And I read the code that says that the courts of the state of California have to be ran by the dollar, the cent, and the mill. That means it has to be ran under lawful money. That's not been repealed. That's still on the courts. However, the courts won't tell you that they're not dealing with either the notes of the United States or lawful money.
Okay, isn't the issue like trying to prove a negative? I mean, trying to expose their presumption, isn't that like trying to prove a negative? Unless it's spelled out, unless they admit it, that seems to be the problem.
Well, here in the state of California, here's where your Public Records Act can be used very simply. You can actually request the money of accounts through documents that the court has to accept in payment of any fines. They're not going to come back and say Federal Reserve notes, are they? They'll come back and say money order or cashier's check. But what's the conversion table of all those things? Federal Reserve notes. So it's purely, and it, you know, I've kept, in one case, I've kept the Franchise Tax Board in abeyance because they actually admitted that they couldn't see lawful coin. In fact, they said it wasn't a document that they could accept because we had a lawful coin issued to the Franchise Tax Board, and they said it was not a document they could accept. Well, that happens to be the money of accounts of the legitimate or lawful United States, and why can't they accept lawful money? The same thing with the IRS. I took the case all the way to the Supreme Court on that. And they could not see the lawful money of the United States. So is it really the United States of America that we're dealing with, or a foreign power that is running this country? Is it truly the state of California that is running things in this state, or is it a foreign power?
Pardon me. Ronald, are you aware with any firsthand knowledge a case where someone who, through discovery, through demand for admissions, has exposed this and had their case dismissed or otherwise gone away?
I've had cases gone away or at a standstill because of the money issue. The money issue is crucial to every agency throughout the land. And if you read, in fact, I did seminars on this here, where we no longer have offices in any state anymore or within the United States. Everything is an agency. Even the president of the United States is now an agency. It is not a legitimate office anymore. And that's because it's all converted over to commercial. We're under a different jurisdiction all together. So the thing is that within your states, and this is the Achilles heel, you still have your constitutional parameters that they have to go by, and their authority has to arise from that instrument. And if you could go back and if you trace the authority of the Constitution, you'll see that it's common law. and it can only be meets and bounds. It cannot be a corporation. See, they deviated. They added to your constitutions. They created new offices that are not part of your constitutions. I hear a break coming up.
Yeah, we're going to break, Ron. Hang on. We'll be right back, so don't change that dial. We've got one more segment of the show, everybody, so don't change the dial.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It's the Unsolicited Opinion. My guest this morning, Ronald McDonald, author of the book entitled They Own It All, Including You by Way of Toxic Money, which you can purchase right off of RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. So go there, buy his book, because he explains all of this stuff to you in his book, all about the money. So anyway, Ron, do you want to finish what you were saying? What are you laughing at?
Was it Rodney talking or...
No, that's me talking. Why do I sound like
I didn't know. I didn't know who we left off with.
We had Rodney on.
Yeah, it's we are in an imaginary system on credits and debits, and that system is controlling. Our courts are bound to take lawful money, yet you don't see any lawful money being transacted in your courts. So that should be the first clue that you're not in a court of the state of where you're in, or you're not in a court of the United States, because they're not taking the money of accounts. And in our state of California, as in every other state, it says that the courts of this state shall move in lawful money, the dollar sent in the mill. Well, if you're not in that court, if it's not moving that money, then you're not in your state. You're in something else. You're in another jurisdiction altogether. See, that's the key to this whole illusion, is the money system.
Okay, okay. Well, I mean, here, states just print their own money. Yeah, it is. It's all nuts. It's Alice in Wonderland stuff. It's all upside down. I don't know if Rodney is still on with us. Are you on there with us, Rodney, still?
Yeah, am I still here?
Yeah, yep, yep.
Okay, yeah, just in conclusion, you know, for 20 years I've been collecting pieces of the puzzle. Thanks to RBN, my learning curve has grown exponentially. And, Ron, I thank you for your book. It's, I think, a very useful piece of the puzzle. And I look forward to your next one. Thank you very much. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome, Rodney. We got a couple more minutes left.
Thank you.
Are you still there with me? I heard. Did we disconnect? Ron, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
But it is
okay.
Breaking up.
Yeah, go ahead. We got a couple more minutes before the fat lady sings.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Ron.
Okay, we're breaking up. I'll say something because
we got 2 minutes to fill. Otherwise, I'll just have to give my unsolicited opinion.
Oh, that's okay. We don't want that, Maggie. No.
Yeah, I know, right? Whatever we do.
No, the basis of all law comes from that Constitution. Study your Constitution. I think we broke up.
Study the Constitution. Well, it seems to me, who created the Code Enforcement Office? What defines the officer? What defines employee? Public Records Act. Ask for the oath of office.
Yeah, I mean,
people got to do a little research and an investigation. They got to get off the dime and start doing a little work. There's no free lunch in life, right?
Yeah, in our state, and I'm sure it's in every state, prior to 1933, it said the legislature, the people of the state of California represented by the legislature do enact the following law. Today, it's the legislature enacts the following law. So something happened at that point. The legislature was never granted that ability.
I gotcha. Well, I gotta say goodbye. Fat Lady's gonna sing. We're running out of time. Ron, thanks for being on with me today. I appreciate it. Ronald McDonald, they own it all, including you. I will be back tomorrow. Deanna Spingola is next. Listen, everybody, I love to go to Oz because somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Chin up, better days are coming. We've got people like Ronald McDonald in the world. So hey, don't lose heart. The sun's gonna come up tomorrow. It always does. I'll be back, so stay tuned. Take care, everybody.
Beyond the rain.